and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be joining us today.
And I'm the Kraken. Watch out.
All right. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX.
Today is Gastro Day here at Podcast DX, and we're doing another episode on the gut. So if you caught our first episode on the gut microbiome and you constantly were hitting your head at every time we mispronounce something, get ready because it's a gut take two. Are you feeling a bit stressed from the last month that you've had there, Lita? You've had hospital visits and surgery.
I guess so. And one doctor that I follow on YouTube and Facebook mm-hmm. is Dr. Ross Hauser
okay.
from the Hauser Neck Center in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Do you know him, the guy with the big yellow glasses?
No, but is he related to Doogie Hauser?
Oh, maybe.
Okay. I can't say that I do, but how is the Neck Center related to the gut?
Oh, right. Well, his episodes... His website and, mm-hmm. and all his episodes
mm-hmm.
is a wealth of information on Ehlers-Danlos symptoms.
Oh.
Because he treats many, many, many people.
Many people? Yes. Okay.
And at their center, mm-hmm. they specialize in helping people with EDS,
mm-hmm.
which is a disorder of the connective tissue, which can cause, among other problems, like being double-jointed or hypermobility type things.
Mm-hmm.
The joints causing frequent dislocations, sublocations, partial dislocations.
Subluxation.
Yes, subluxations.
Okay.
And then another site that I use regularly mm-hmm. is the Mighty.
Sure.
The Mighty is a growing community of people with lived experience sharing their honest stories. And we help people connect with others around mental health, chronic illness, rare disease, disability, and more.
Yep, that's a great source for patients to go to for support from their peers. And they actually have a page dedicated to 23 gastrointestinal symptoms people with EDS have experienced.
That's right.
So we're going to count them down?
I think we are.
All righty.
Although more research is needed to better understand the underlying mechanisms,
mm-hmm.
studies have shown that there is a link between multiple EDS subtypes and digestive systems.
Okay.
According to Laurel Brockway, a specialist registered nurse at the Wingate Institute of Neurogastroenterology in London,
mm-hmm.
EDS can affect the gastrointestinal tract because connective tissue is present in the digestive tract and it is essential to the passive mechanical movements needed to complete digestion. If this tissue is affected, it can cause a plethora, mm-hmm. don't you love that word? A plethora of gastrointestinal problems for those living with EDS.
So should I just read through the list of possible issues with the gut that are associated with EDS patients?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to start out with organ rupture.
That sounds joyful.
Gallstones.
Okay.
Hernias,
mm-hmm.
IBS,
mm-hmm.
gastroparesis,
mm-hmm.
nutcracker syndrome.
I
forget what that is now.
Okay. I was going to say, does it? Okay, no. Sorry.
I know I looked it up and I can't remember what it was.
Okay. And the joyful list keeps going?
I guess the nutcracker syndrome is in the esophagus because I didn't keep reading. Rectal prolapse, dysmotility. Dumping syndrome,
mm-hmm.
bloating, GERD, diverticulitis, nausea, malnutrition, constipation, ulcers, diarrhea, cramping, esophageal dysmotility, volvulus, it's a blockage of the stomach or intestine requiring emergency surgery, chronic intestinal pseudo-obstruction, cyclical vomiting, impaction, or extremely large bowel movements.
Go ahead and eat dinner, they said. We'll tape after, they said. We'll wait. Oh, so happy I did. The American Journal of Gastroenterology published a study which said gastrointestinal complications are relatively frequent in Ehlers-Danlos syndrome patients. And Interstitial dysmotility is significantly more frequent in EDS patients than in the general population, and it has a very difficult investigational approach, requiring a high clinical suspicion for diagnosis. Therapeutic approach may be challenging in these situations, and in the context of limited options and the disabling nature of the actual disease. EDS is considered a multi-system disease as connective tissue is present throughout the entire body. The digestive tract can be affected as well. Previous studies have associated with EDS with a spectrum of gastrointestinal complications such as chronic constipation. Oh, we're going to do more.
Yeah.
Chronic constipation, hiatal hernia, Crohn's disease, fecal incontinence, rectal evacuatory dysfunction, functional gastrointestinal disorder, gastroesophageal reflux, recurrent gastritis, delayed gastric emptying, and recurrent abdominal pain. In the case series that this particular article refers to, the authors reported that there were 6 cases of global gut dysmotility in Ehlers-Danlos. And they highlighted the fact that EDS can actually lead to significant gut failure, and that's it can be not only difficult to diagnose, but it's extraordinarily challenging to find a adequate treatment. And severe gut dysmotility among patients with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is not uncommon and possibly underdiagnosed, and it must always be taken into account when treating a patient with EDS and persistent gastrointestinal symptoms, especially if in the presence of autonomic dysfunction features such as POTS and the failure to maintain weight. So
sounds like everything I've been going through ever since my vagus nerve got damaged during the fundoplication last year.
Oh my gosh.
They told me they
okay.
did.
But we'll have links for that study so that you can read more about it.
All right. Well, now that we have a little bit of background information, it's time to talk about our
advertiser.
Sponsor.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
Veteran Med Supplies.
And they provide products for specific medical conditions. So instead of having to go through an entire catalog of offerings, you can zero in on exactly what might be helpful to you. And if you have any specific requests, please let them know. There's a link on our website.
And for this episode, I'm going to definitely plug North Shore Cares Adult Pull-Ups. They're soft like cloth. They're formed to hold more of an overflow, and even though they are mainly used for heavy incontinence of urine, they absolutely work best for those times that you can't get to the bathroom in time and your stool is mostly liquid.
And we're not talking if you're driving cross-country to go and do something.
No, it wouldn't hold that long.
Okay.
But now it's time to return to our show.
Okay, good.
So to recap what we already talked about, symptoms of dysmotility. Patients with dysmotility in the upper digestive tract, like the esophagus and the stomach, may experience loss of appetite, weight loss, heartburn, upper abdominal pain, burning sensations or discomfort, nausea, vomiting, feeling full very quickly when eating. And then dysmotility of the small intestine can cause abdominal pain, cramping, bloating and distension, problems with bowel movements. This may be constipation and or diarrhea. Some of these problems may be because of altered gut microbiomes, which we just talked about last week, which is the small intestinal bacteria overgrowth and small intestinal fungal overgrowth, SIBO or SIFO. And then dysmotility of the lower digestive tract, the colon and the rectum, can cause constipation that's not helped by diet or laxatives. Good to know. Lower abdominal pain, cramping, bloating. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's quite enough. And what can somebody do if they have, you know, slow stomach emptying?
Well, there's a group called the Chronic Pain Partners online, and they give some excellent advice.
Okay.
Number one.
Stick with small meals.
Good. Number two.
Make sure that there's protein on your plate.
And avoid large plates of just carbs like pasta or white potatoes. Protein includes foods like meat, eggs, nuts, and beans. beans, rice, and Thai peanut noodles count as protein.
Rice, are you trying to like justify what you had? Okay.
Rice is a complex carbohydrate, right, and it also has protein in it.
Okay.
Rice protein compared to that of other grains is often considered one of the higher quality proteins.
Okay.
And it's very easy to digest.
If you are able to digest it.
Yes.
Yeah. Always check with your healthcare provider because some people can't eat wild rice.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Other ways to deal with slow stomach?
Yes.
Stomach emptying?
Mm-hmm.
Probiotics are a crucial step if you want good intestinal flora.
Yeah. If you want that balanced microbiome.
Right. And that'll help keep things moving.
And it's great to get it from different sources.
Yeah.
And I think that's all you got to say on that point.
Okay.
And if you know that you're going to be busy, you know, but you can keep your meals light, but you can keep it nutrient dense.
You mean like with smoothies or something?
Sure. You can have, depending on, you know, what works for you, maybe protein shakes or just like high quality foods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not garbage food. If you're in a hurry,
you typically don't eat garbage.
Oh, you know what I mean. Okay.
Okay.
A little caffeine could be a good idea with a heavy meal because...
But you're not doing heavy meals if you can avoid it.
Right.
Okay.
If your body will tolerate caffeine.
You're just saying something like a nice hot tea?
Yeah. Or a cup of coffee.
Okay. Right. All right.
But on beverages, what you should do is limit your alcohol to one cup, glass, or shot of alcohol.
It does seem that they're saying...
alcohol is not good for your gut.
Right. Every time it does seem like they're saying, that, you know, less alcohol is probably best.
Right. Avoid eating a heavy meal in the evening.
Right. Right. Okay.
Do your heavier meals earlier in the day. Your stomach will be full of other food that it's still digesting if you eat it, you know, late in the evening.
Right. And you have to kind of balance what you're eating with what you're drinking because you're, you know, if you are having difficulty with dysmotility, the entire contents, you know, are combined. So you have to balance what liquid you're taking in and what food.
Right. If you know you're going to be drinking, you got to eat less. If you know you're going to be exercising, you got to eat less.
Okay.
If you know you're going to be working late, you got to eat less.
Yeah. Lots of little small meals.
Yes. But what you should eat is good calories.
Right. Nutrient dense stuff.
Right. Right.
Okay.
All right. Well,
That sounds like great advice. How about intestinal dysmotility?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, great.
Dysmotility of the stomach is also known as gastroparesis, and that of the large intestine is known as slow transit constipation.
Mm-hmm.
A group called Medscape Online had some suggestions from the patient standpoint, and I quote, correct fiber intake is useful in patients with either constipation or stool leakage. Fiber and water must be abundant in the diet of patients with constipation. Fermentable foods should be avoided. Patients should have small, frequent meals, like 6 to 8 times a day. Avoid meals that have high fat or lactose. Avoid residue and gas-producing foods. Puree the foods in a blender or other ways. That may be tolerated by some individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Patients can receive supplementation with liquid formulations, vitamins and minerals, vitamin B12, iron, calcium, folic acid, water-soluble vitamins, vitamin A, D, E, and K, and trace elements are needed to meet the requirements. Consultations with a dietitian will help provide the patient with a number of options. So we strongly suggest that you speak with your physician and get a consult with a dietitian. Mild physical exercise is not contraindicated, and it may be very useful for symptom relief in patients with irritable bowel syndrome or constipation.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of providers recommend a 30-minute walk after meals.
Yep.
So to recap, evidence suggests that there is a link between connective tissue disorders, such as Ehlers-Danlos, and the digestive system and the complications and symptoms. And patients with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome can end up with hernias, organs that are displaced, and different types of prolapse, as well as functional problems such as changes in the speed of the digestive system is processing food or the chyme, and gut motility. And as always, you know, always ask your doctor what they recommend and see a specialist who works with patients with Ehlers-Danlos or who is willing to do some research.
Good advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com.
I'd love to give somebody else's email address instead.
You can also find us on our website, podcastdx.com. We're on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
Okay. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We don't know you. We don't know what's going on with you. So always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.